Are you a rural farming woman, wife or mother, struggling to find peace in your busy life? Do you find yourself trying to squeeze joy out of your daily routine, manage stress that seems never-ending, and somehow reconnect with your passions in the midst of it all? Do you love your rural life, yet often feel overwhelmed by the challenges it brings? Welcome to Cultivate Contentment, the podcast designed just for you. I'm Jessica Knight, a fellow rural woman, wife and mother, and I get it. I've been there. Right there in the trenches, juggling the demands of farm life, motherhood, and carving out moments to take care of myself. Come along with me and my guests as we explore balancing farm life with personal needs on a realistic level. Practical ways to sprinkle a little joy and peace into your daily routine, nurturing relationships without losing your sense of self, and how to keep stress at bay and prevent burnout, all while staying focused on what we really want, feeling content and settled in our lives. So whether you're savoring a cup of coffee before the morning chaos begins, stealing a moment of quiet on your drive to town, or popping in your earbuds while wrestling with laundry and dishes, I invite you to join me. Let's laugh, learn, and cultivate contentment together. Welcome to Cultivate Contentment. I'm your host, Jessica Knight, and today I am joined by my lovely friend, Renee Katko. Renee is a fellow woman in dairy. While she may be on the other side of the world to me and have a completely different farming system, we face a lot of the same challenges and triumphs in our daily lives. So welcome, Renee.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I thought start with the basics. Where are you from? What do you do? Who makes up your family? All of those details.
Okay, so I am from central Minnesota. So like Jess said, kind of across the pond. So I'm from the United States and I am a wife and a mom and a farmer. So I have one little boy. He is going to be 2 in January. And then we also have another baby due in January as well. So super excited about that. I married into a farm family and I also grew up in agriculture, working for other farmers, working for my uncle. While I was growing up, my parents milked dairy goats. And so I kind of have always been around agriculture. But when I started college, I kind of was like, I am getting out of here. I am not doing this. And so I went to college to become an elementary education teacher. And I did that for 1 year. And while I was doing that, I met Jared. And we met in January. And then COVID came in March, I think, is when everything kind of started to shut down. And they ended up shutting schools down. And I came back home to live with my parents because I was like 2 hours away from everybody because that's where I got my first teaching job, which was a really cool experience because it was at an agriculture and science school. So it was something that my roots kind of connected with like my new teaching career. When COVID came, I ended up coming back home and I was living with my parents. And I was still dating Jared at the time, but I really got involved helping on the farm, picking rocks, feeding calves, doing all of the things. It was during all of that that Jared asked me to come home and help on the farm. And there was like a little piece of me that was like, I can't do that. Like, we're not married. Like, I have this teaching degree. Like, that seems totally crazy and out of like the norm. We kind of talked to my parents about it. We talked to his mom and dad about it. And Jared farms with his dad and uncle. So just in our everyday, we farm alongside Jared's dad and uncle. And then we're working on taking over the operation. We would be the fourth generation here on this farm. And so it's really exciting. But when we went through and we were like asking the questions of like, is this logical? Is this the right idea? And it came down to Jared literally going, well, what's the worst case? You'll have to just find a teaching job if it doesn't work out. And so that's kind of how I landed here. And I've been here ever since, being a wife, a farmer, a mom. And my roles have just recently, when I had JJ, which is our son, my roles kind of shifted and changed because all of a sudden I went from being a full-time farmer to pretty much becoming a full-time mom.
So you hear a lot of stories of the farm wives that marry in and they try to be involved in the operation and it doesn't go well. What was the transition like for you stepping into your husband's family farm and sort of taking on a role?
It was a really interesting transition. Overall, his dad was really, really great and loved having me around and loved having my help. It was also different for the guys because Jared's mom was a substitute teacher. That's what she did. She has a leather shop, so she works with leather. And so she was never involved with the farm. So that was an interesting transition to all of a sudden fully immerse myself into this operation that was ran by three males. Jared's dad took it really good. He was super glad that I was involved. He was always so impressed that I would know how to drive equipment and do these things, or how I was so willing to learn how to help with different things on the operation. But different things affected Jared's uncle differently. So Jared's uncle is he's a different type of person that you have to get used to. When I came in, I noticed there was a need for better health with our calves. And so that was a big thing on our operation that we really needed. So that was kind of where I started to put my foot in and try to do the research and try to figure out how I could really help in that part of the operation. It was good and I really enjoyed that part of it. But I also had to learn how to work with his uncle and learn how to really immerse myself in their family dynamic. And then also learn that it was okay to rock the boat once in a while to get things to shift and change. Also, just with the little pieces that they would give me, knowing that it was okay to take those little pieces and not just expect it all to change flip of the switch overnight. So when I first started taking care of the calves, I actually took care of all of the bull calves, because if something happened and I messed something up really big, they wanted to make sure that their heifers were going to be able to be healthy and be replaced. And what happened was I raised 72 bulls and none of them died. They were all healthy. And Jared's dad goes, "Well, this is really dumb." He goes, "We're going to start raising the heifers this way too." And so as much as it was I had to come in and kind of little piece by piece by piece, prove myself that I knew what I was doing. I was doing the research and proving that stuff. And I think it's a little different for everybody when they walk into the operation. Now, if Jared's mom would have been a part of the operation and she would have paved that way prior to me coming in, it might have looked a little different. But here I was, a female, paving my own way. And at that, I was a young female too. Jared's dad and his uncle are both in their 60s. So they would have been 55 when we started farming with them. And sometimes it can just be really hard for that older generation to change their ways and change their habits.
I love that it's got to be step by step. It's not going to happen overnight, but you've got to acknowledge those little steps along the way to keep yourself going.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times, even for me, it was that taking a step back and being here's my bigger picture and I might not be there yet, but this little step is getting me towards that bigger picture, because sometimes that can be really hard to see all the pieces connecting and making that bigger picture, kind of little puzzle pieces, all going together and creating that bigger picture.
You mentioned how you were there and then working full time on the farm, and then motherhood came along, and we know that just changes things so much. What was it like for you to sort of take that step back, take the time to be at home as a new mom, but still wanting to be involved in the farm? How did that all work?
When I got pregnant with JJ, we were short on help. So I was feeding calves full time. So I was pregnant with JJ all the way up until the point that I had JJ. I was feeding calves every morning and then sometimes at night as well. So here I was 9 months pregnant, trying to get ready to welcome a baby into the house. Plus I was taking care of all of our calves. And then I went in to labor and my labor did not go as planned. And I ended up having an emergency C-section. Spent 5 days in the hospital, and then we came home from the hospital and I was still short on help, and we were trying to shuffle things around. And so here I was with a 5-day-old baby and my husband beside me, and we were trying to feed calves. And I remember looking at him and I was like, I don't ever want to do this ever again. Like, it's not benefiting me and it's not benefiting you and it's not benefiting our family for me to be here 5 days postpartum when I should be healing, to be trying to do all of this. And for somebody who's a doer and you just figure it out and do it, that was really, really hard. But when I was pregnant with JJ, I walked through a big mental health battle. And so there was a lot of things that were really hard during that, but a lot of things good that came from that. So I really learned that I had to sit down and figure out, like, what were my priorities going to be and what were some of those things going to look like. So that day when I was feeding calves after we came home from the hospital, I said, I don't want to do this again. So I had to figure out what it looks like to put things into place so that I wasn't going to have another baby and have to be feeding calves. And so what that looked like is we had to bring in more hired help, get people trained in to learn how to feed the calves and take care of things. That meant that I now was going to have less because I was now going to be managing the calf barn instead of actually doing all of the work when it came to the calf barn. It looked like getting everybody trained in, and then now all of a sudden I had this little baby and I could just kind of pay attention to this little baby, which was so exciting, but also really hard for somebody who, like I said, is like a doer. And you just always think that you have to be busy. So I've just really been learning that I don't have to be busy. I have to be productive, is kind of what I'm like walking through now.
Can I say that that's amazing that you stood there and went, we can't do this and I don't want to do this? Because you see so many agriculture mums who go back straight to work and they take these babies along with them, and it's months down the track before they go, no, this isn't working. Like, to be able to say that on day one and have that inner strength within you to be able to acknowledge that is amazing.
A lot of it I take back to when I got pregnant with JJ and I walked through my mental health battle. I also had to start therapy. So I was going to therapy. So I learned so much about myself through therapy as well, and just like learning and growing through that. And then I also like started masterminds, which brought me to Ascend, which is how I met Jess. And so all of those like little pieces came together and really had like a big impact when it came to learning that whole mentality of, you really don't have to be busy all the time as long as you are productive with your time.
And so now baby number two is on the way. How do things look now? Do you feel more confident that you're going to have the time this time around and not have those stresses and things of going back to the calves straight away?
Our life looks a little bit different. So now a lot of what I do is what I call the behind the scenes farm wife, farmer work. Right now, my mother-in-law comes every Friday, pretty much every Friday, and I call it my farmer Friday. One day a week, I become like this crazy productive human. I don't know what happens, but my mother-in-law takes care of our child, and I get to vaccinate cattle, and I get to move cattle, and I get to just help with all of these things around the farm. And that has been one thing that I've incorporated, because else what was happening is all throughout the like week and or throughout the month, I wouldn't have like a babysitter, or my husband would be able to help and take him in the tractor for a little bit here and there. So I would get like these hour or two slots and I'd be like, I have 2 hours. What am I going to do? What's my priority? How am I going to do it? With being able to have my mother-in-law come in on Fridays and like allowing myself to ask for that help because it was clearly something we needed. By having her come in, I've now just allotted myself the time to be like, okay, on Fridays, I have 8 hours and this is what everything like that needs to get done in that 8 hour time span. Am I going to go for a walk because I need to take care of myself a little bit? Am I going to cut the lawn because the lawn needs to get cut, or what all needs to get done on the farm? And it just helps me become a lot more productive. Can I do all of those things with JJ running around beside me? Yes, I can. It's a little like probably not nearly as safe. And I'm a lot more worried about where he is and what he's doing and less worried about trying to get all of the things done. So that has been one thing that I've incorporated into my days. And then also just, I call it loosely planning my life. When it comes to the farm stuff, I have a calendar that I have up on the wall. And since I am kind of the behind the scenes farmer, what I'm doing is I'm making sure all of our vaccines are getting done. Cows are getting moved when they're supposed to. Cows are getting dried up when they're supposed to. And so I'm doing kind of all of our bookwork that's on the animal side. So I don't do the money bookwork, but our animal bookwork. I have that all organized. So like Mondays, we're doing this. Tuesdays, this needs to get done. Wednesdays, this needs to get done. And all that I have to do is make sure that the people who are milking the cows have the list and know what they're supposed to be doing. By creating that like loose schedule, things within my schedule move around. So our Saturdays are open, or our free day. So if we miss something throughout the week, I can move something to Saturday. But when I made that schedule, all of a sudden, it took everything out of my brain and it put it up on that wall. I no longer was carrying all of that mumble jumble up in my brain and trying to keep everything all together. And I kind of did the same thing with our home as well. I will plan out and I'll be like, okay, I have time on Saturday. I'm going to reset our house on Saturday. So that means I'm going to mop the floors. I'm going to like make sure all the laundry is put away. I'm going to wash all of our sheets. Whatever needs to be done within our home, I'm going to do. And then all I really have to worry about on the daily basis is we have a robot vacuum, which is wonderful and takes a task off of my list. But all I have to do is once JJ goes to bed, I just have to pick up the house. That's it. Just put his toys away, make sure things are off the carpets, and the robo vacuum will go. And then I make sure I do the dishes. And so those are the two things that I know every day I like to do. One day throughout the week, and I try to do it somewhere like Saturday, Sunday-ish, but sometimes it doesn't get done till Wednesday, depending on our schedules. We'll get all of our groceries. And then what I do on Sundays is I will clean all of our fruits, clean all of our veggies, and just like cut everything up, make sure everything's ready to go. So it takes another task off of my plate. Like when it's supper time, if we want peppers or sweet potatoes or something like that, I can just throw it in the oven because it's all ready to go. And it just has taken so many like little tasks off of my plate and out of my brain because they're written down and I no longer have to stress about them and I no longer have to worry about them. I know one thing that I used to do when JJ was littler is he would take out all of his toys. And this was probably when he was napping two times a day, is he would get up in the morning for a couple hours and we would play and we'd have toys all over. So then I would put him to bed and I would come back downstairs and I would put all the toys away again so that like everything was picked up. Then he'd get up and he'd play again and he'd throw all the toys all over the floor. And then I would put him back down for a nap. And then he would get up and he'd throw the toys all over. And I was picking up toys probably like 3-4 times a day. One day I was like, why am I doing this? You almost have to ask yourself, is it really that important that all of those toys are picked up every time he goes to bed? Or is it just something I need to do at the end of the day? And so it's been really important to help make sure when the second baby comes is that I'm honing in on things that are truly important to me at the end of the day. And then also that my schedule doesn't become too busy that I can never do the things that I want to do. So if my schedule's too busy, I can't be a yes wife. I can't be a yes mom. That's not who I want to be. So then I really have to dive deep and say, okay, what's on my plate that needs to come off of my plate so that I can be that person that I want to be.
I love that. I just love it all. As someone who mind works in that way of schedules and putting things down, it's just, like you said, getting all of that stuff out of your head. I was in bed last night and I couldn't sleep. And it was because I had these things going around in my head, got up, wrote them down, went back to bed and had a really nice sleep. And it's all about recognizing when you've got all this junk in your head that doesn't need to be there. And how much simpler it can make your life to have it in a little planner or a schedule. Or I've seen on your Instagram, your big one up on the wall that you have. And I absolutely love that. And I need to get my husband on board with one of them. How does it go bringing the rest of the family along with you, with your husband and JJ and your mother-in-law? Like, you know, how does it work for all of them? Is it working well?
So usually it works well, but the key component is communication. Your husband can't read your mind. Your mother-in-law can't read your mind, and she doesn't know when you need help or how you need help or what it looks like to help you. Your father-in-law doesn't know what it looks like. Your mom doesn't know what it looks like. You have to verbally come out and ask for that help. So let's say my day is really busy and really hectic, but my father-in-law is driving the tractor all day. Well, is there an hour where I can ask my father-in-law to take JJ so my schedule is a little bit clearer and I can get other things done? When it comes to my mother-in-law, usually at the beginning of the week, I'll text her and be like, hey, is Friday still available or do you have a different day that works for you? And so it's being flexible because I know her schedule changes, my schedule changes. She will still substitute this year. So as she goes back into that schedule, her schedule will change a little bit and she might be teaching 5 days a week one week, and then she might have days open the next week. And so it's learning that it's okay to be flexible with our schedules. Prior to having JJ, I used to be a person that would have one of those planners with the hourly times in it. I would fill in all of the hourly times, and by gosh, that schedule better have been by the hourly times. If I said calf chores was going to take 3 hours, it better have took 3 hours, else it just threw my whole day off. As I went through therapy, one of my tasks was that I could no longer use a planner or plan things out in my life. And so in that season, as I was trying to unlearn some of those habits, that was really beneficial to me. But then after I had JJ and I had like learned from not planning and like all of these things, I got to a point where I was just like, I am not getting anything done in my day. I am running around like a chicken with my head cut off. And at the end of the day, I did not accomplish anything. And so that's when I brought back my planner, but was very clear with myself that, okay, I am going to loosely plan my life. And that's when I started bringing in like, okay, my father-in-law needs to know these things and can help me here. And okay, how do I talk to Jared and make sure that Jared can be helpful here and here? And when can my mother-in-law be helpful? Because their schedules fluctuate. And if I was super structured, they didn't want to help me, because if that would throw my whole mood off or make everything else like not good, it was too hard for them to help me. So when I loosely plan things, it was beneficial. And at the end of the day, the two most important people in our situation is me and Jared. So how do we figure out how we are going to make it work? A lot of times what we end up doing is at the end of the day when we're getting ready for bed, it's how can I help you tomorrow? So that's me asking Jared, what does he need help with tomorrow? In my terms, how can I be a yes wife for you? What can I say yes to maybe lighten your load, take burden off of you, be helpful? And then it's him asking, how can I help you? Like, how can I help you be a yes wife? How can I help you show up in the best way possible? Like, do I need to take JJ when I'm mixing feed so you can go for a walk? What at the end of the day do we need from each other so that we can show up the best way that we can? That's been a big thing that we've incorporated. I call it my yes wife mentality, and just learning to really like hone in on the things that I want to say yes to. It's perfectly fine to say no to things. If I'm busy at the end of the day, I'm stressed, I know I need to take a walk, so I can't say yes to something, that's fine. But what I was finding before I started loosely planning and being more productive instead of busy is I was constantly saying no to things that I actually wanted to do because I felt like I was too busy and my plate was too full. Do I want to learn how to drive semi? So do I want to go ride with my father-in-law? Yes. The answer is yes. What do I have to get done prior in the week, or what did I have to take off of my plate So when they come and ask me to drop my hat and go do those things so that I can really say yes about those different things.
Oh, wow. There is so much in there. I love that you have got to the point where you can ask for help, because I feel like I know when my kids are really little and asking for help, it almost felt like you were failing. I can't keep on top of things. I can't do all the things that I'm meant to do. And then you would ask for help. And like you said, if you were very structured, which I was that mom whose kids, they were going down for a nap at 12 o'clock and they were sleeping till 2 o'clock and there were no ifs or buts about it. I would say to my mother-in-law, I've got this to do. And she'd be like, oh yeah, I've just got an appointment at this time. And I'd be like, okay, yep, no, don't worry. That's when he's sleeping. That's not helpful. And it took me probably a couple of years to move out of that space and be able to say, okay, yeah, I've got to be more flexible to make things work. But I've also have to stop that feeling of guilt that I need help. And that is okay that you need help.
Yeah, that's a big thing that I had to work through too, is it does not make you a failure to ask for help. And JJ absolutely loves when his Nana comes and plays with him. He has a whole box of toys. They have finger puppets and all of these things that he does when his Nana comes. And he absolutely enjoys that time and he's learning so much. And he just being away from mom and dad is such a good outlet for him, especially because the only two people he knows is mom and dad, because he doesn't go to daycare. We have the benefit of being able to keep him home, but then also realizing that because we keep him home, we are still running an operation and a business. How do we figure out and balance everything? And we have people that want to help. So why are we denying them that opportunity to come in and actually help us? And a lot of times I think people do, they think, like you said, they think that they are failing because they're asking for help. But in the end, I think what happens is we end up failing our kids by not asking for help. Because when we don't ask for help, we're grouchy and we're crabby and we're tired and we're overstimulated. And we really just need a walk in the fresh air if somebody could just take care of these children. And it does not make us any less of a person because we have to ask for help. And whether it's our husband's help or it's our mother-in-law's help or it's our mom's help or a babysitter down the road who's coming to play with our kids for a couple days or a couple hours, it does not make any less of us. And it, one thing I had to work through is, it does not make me any less of a farmer because I don't feed those calves anymore or I don't milk those cows. We have to stop wearing this badge of honor that we're the hardest worker in our county. It's not a badge of honor that we have to wear.
Yes, that is so true. I think it is a very ingrained part of agriculture, is that, no, I'll just work harder. It'll get easier if I work harder. I'll get more done if I work harder. But in the end, you just come to a crashing halt because there's got to be a breaking point. And I don't know about other industries, but I just feel in agriculture, it's a really sort of thing that we see all around the world. It's not limited to any one place, especially women in agriculture. They're working on the farm, they're raising the kids, they're volunteering at schools, they're doing so many things, and they often feel like the answer is, well, I'll just put something else on my plate and that'll fix it. If I'm grumpy and I'm crabby, it's because I'm not doing enough. I'm not doing things I enjoy. So I'll add another thing on. And then it just keeps going and going and going, when really the answer, like you said, is taking something off the plate, saying, well, this is something that I don't need right now. Then I can be a happy, engaged, and present mom.
Sometimes we're so busy adding so many things to our plate. I know when I came back from Ascend and I started my podcast, Jared's like, don't you think you have enough stuff on your plate? And I'm like, I have a lot of things on my plate and my plate is full, but what's on my plate that fills my cup and helps me be who I want to be? And I think a lot of people, they're searching for that piece that's going to make them feel whole and make them feel like they're accomplishing something and they're being who they truly want to be. And they're adding all of these things on their plate. And the things that do truly light them up, at the end of the day, there's no time for that because they've put so much stuff on their plate being busy instead of being productive.
I absolutely love your term, yes wife and yes mum. My boys love the movie Yes Day. You're probably not up to that one yet.
I've heard of it.
They absolutely adore it. So the concept is the parents have got to say yes to everything for 24 hours. And my kids are always going, mum, can we have a yes day? And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think I have the capacity for that. But I'm the same. It's when your farmer walks in the door and says, oh, have you got 20 minutes to come and help with this? And you know that you've got things enough in order in the house that you can stop what you're doing for 20 minutes and go and help. And that fills your cup as well. I think that's the hard thing that people don't get is that being able to help others is really bringing you a lot of joy.
Yeah, all those like little pieces that we add into our everyday can make such an like a big impact as well for like making sure that our cup stays full and that we're not pouring from an empty cup at the end of the day.
So we both attended Ascend and then followed on with some masterminds. How much has it impacted you having this community of rural women to talk to and to go through this journey with?
I would say that like 100% recommend being in a community. Even if you're not like starting a business or chasing like these massive big dreams. So for me, when I was like looking at masterminds or looking into Ascend, I was like, well, do I really belong there? Like I'm not chasing a big business goal or a big business dream. I'm not doing like big impactful work in the world with impacting people. So do I belong there? I'm just a mom and I'm just a farm wife. That's what I would tell myself. I'm just a mom and I'm just a farm wife. But at the end of the day, what masterminds and what Ascend really did for me was teach me that it's okay to ask for help and it's okay to take things off of your plate, even if you once loved them. I think when it comes to that, I had to take the, oh, I'm just a mom and I'm just a farm wife, and I had to cut that just off. I'm a mom and I'm a farm wife. And taking care of me is an important part so that I can show up as who I want to be. I know when I was in one of the masterminds, I remember Emily asking, what does like your dream Tuesday look like? What would your dream Tuesday look like? And I remember being on that call and I started crying because I was living it. I was already living it. And I think what some of these communities and things help you do is help you realize that sometimes you're chasing the next big accolade or the next big award because that's what you've always done. That has been your whole life. Or because Sally Joe that you follow on Instagram is doing that and you think that you have to keep up with her. But really, when you look back at your life and you think about the little girl who they would ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you really think about it and you're like, oh, I'm a farmer and I'm a mom. And those were my two super big goals when I was a little girl. And I am living my dream life right now. And I think when you get into those communities, they really help you dive deep into who you are, who you want to be. And then they push you to actually achieve those things. So I have no big like dream or business that I'm chasing, but I'm in those rooms and I like am finding friends and I'm finding community. And on my really hard days, I have people who I can turn to that get it. Because your friends that you have that are just your everyday friends and the friends who are from agriculture or come from people who have kids compared to people who don't have kids, they just understand it in a different way than your friends who maybe aren't walking that same path that you are.
You summed it up so brilliantly. It is just having that group of women who get it and who are on the journey with you. And you know that you can turn up there with any comment or any thought and there's going to be someone who goes, oh, I get that. I relate to that. Yep, I've been there. And that is something that I think is invaluable and you would give your time, energy, money, everything for because it makes you a better person. I feel like we need to do this again because there is still so much that we could talk about. But I will finish today by asking one question that I'm going to be asking all of my podcast guests. And that is, what is one thing in your life at the moment that is helping you to cultivate contentment? It could be a daily habit, a routine, a book you're reading, a product that you use, absolutely anything that brings you a little bit of contentment each day.
So I would say the biggest thing that is bringing me contentment and just taking a lot of stress and anxiety off my plate is planning my life loosely. Really just having a plan and getting those things out of your mind that maybe eventually need to get done, but you're just carrying around and they're taking space and floating around. There was a perfect analogy of a reel I listened to, and it was talking about how in our mind we have all of these bouncy balls. And I think about the bouncy balls as being tasks that are on my to-do list. And all the bouncy balls just lay nice and flat when I plan my life loosely. But what happens when I don't have time to sit down and plan out, like maybe it's our breakfast and our suppers, or I don't have time to sit down and get all the farm stuff organized, what happens is those bouncy balls start to bounce. And then my head just turns into like this big old like bouncing ball because it's all up there and it's all floating around and I am trying to accomplish all of these things, but I don't know where to start. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, there's just too much to do. Like, where do I even start? Like, why would I even start? And then I don't do anything. So at the end of the day, if you're like one of those people that feel like there's just too much on your plate and you don't know where to start, just brain dump it all out and then start on one task. Maybe it's planning your life loosely. Maybe it's just making a massive to-do list and picking one task a day that you check off of your to-do list. But I think a lot of times we're just carrying way too much around in our brain. And if we could just like let it all out a little bit, it would just take a lot of stress and anxiety off of our plates. Because guess what? We're busy. We have a lot going on in life. And we just have to give ourselves a little bit of grace. And so it's just finding those little things that we can take off of our plate that just help life seem a little bit easier.
I love that analogy, the bouncing balls. I can just see them all like bouncing around everywhere and you're trying to catch them. That is just brilliant. I love it. All right. Thank you so much, Renee, for joining me today. If people want to follow along with you, listen to your podcast, all of the things, where do they find you?
So I'm on Instagram as Renee Capco. And my podcast is called the Triple C Podcast for Cattle, Kids, and Chaos. And so you can follow on any app that you listen to podcasts on with that. And then again, find me on Instagram at Renee Capco.
Perfect. I will put links to everything in the show notes so people can find Renee and follow along. Again, thank you so much, Renee. And thank you to everyone for listening. Thank you for joining us on this journey to cultivating a little bit of contentment in our lives. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Cultivate Contentment. I hope you found inspiration and practical tips to help you on your journey towards a more contented life. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing or following the podcast on your favorite platform. And don't forget to leave a review to let me know your thoughts. For more content and community support, be sure to follow on Instagram at Grounded Farm Wife. Remember, you're not alone in this journey. Together, we can continue to cultivate contentment in our lives. Until next time, take care and stay grounded.